Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing a really cool thing next week, and we are inviting all of you out to say hello. It'd be nice to see some folks, some old friends. Bring something for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. It is going to be the coldest week of the year, or usually is, week before Valentine's Day. We used to do Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Now we are doing Crab Cake Row. A cup of Super Bowl. We'll give you a free cup of soup or a bowl at Fadley's on Monday, at Costas on Tuesday, at Coco's on Wednesday, at State Fair, and I'm wearing my State Fair shirt over at Catonsville on Thursday, and Pappas on Friday. We'll be there from 9 until 5 doing live radio all day. If you're really nice, I'll sneak you on the air and you can tell me a story. But we have lots and lots of charities coming up. Too many to mention. I'd be here all day. I've got over 60. I think 62 was the number I had when I went to bed on Thursday night. Charities. If you have a charity, you have a community organization with a good cause, I want to give them 15 minutes of airtime. I'm moving people in and out. We're going to have a good time next week. Going to be old school. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com reaches me. We'll have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at Window Nation, Jiffy Lube Multicare are with us in all of this. All of our sponsors will be with, except Leonard Raskin. He's in Wallea doing his 30th year anniversary. But everybody else is going to be coming out next week and saying hello. I think Dennis is coming out at State Fair on the west side. So we're going to get some folks out. Please come out. Please give to the Maryland Food Bank. And we did the Corbin Burns thing, Luke Jones, and the Oriole ownership thing. And I don't know. By the time you and I get together next week, who knows? DaCosta might be running the Orioles for all I know. football side, and I dare I say, and man, you're a younger guy than me. Has there ever been a point in your life where the Orioles were more relevant than the Ravens? More?
I mean,
just the fact you have to think about it, probably not.
I mean, 2014, they were in the ALCS, and that was a couple years removed from the Super Bowl. But your point is, it's been very
100 million
fleeting.
People watched them play last Sunday, right? Lamar
sure.
Jackson and losing. They would be going to the Super Bowl right now. Wouldn't that be something? Pinch me, Corbin Burns, new owner, and everybody's leaving for Vegas in five. I mean, it's almost a good thing we lost, because I don't know that I'd have the bandwidth for all of this. But on the football side, we did lose. And mm-hmm. The baseball side's nice, and that's coming. But football thing's getting a little dormant, and this is certainly the week when the hits keep on coming. And this is exactly what we expected. We weren't Debbie Downers talking about this. We're realists around here. You can't be talking about the offseason in the season. Oh, you always have to be talking about the offseason when you're Luke and Nestor. We knew that this was going to be a little bit of a bloodletting, and we haven't even begun with the roster yet. And that's down the line for you and for capologists. But I actually had Chad Brown on the show, one of our dear friends, former Steeler.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Patrick Queen. I'm like, Patrick Queen's gone. He said, what do you mean you're gone? I have to sign him. I'm like, you need to look a little further into the Ravens capology. So this is where I bring you in and say, this has nothing to do with capology. This has to do with winning and doing well and having young coaches do well. And John Harbaugh has never been about bringing in young coordinators for this reason. He groomed this guy for 10 years and he's gone forever now, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just said it. You're a victim of your own success. When you're very successful, postseason disappointment aside from Sunday's loss, other franchises want your people. Joe Ortiz off to the Chargers to become their general manager, working with Jim Harbaugh now. Mike McDonald, who we've been talking about probably since October about this possibility, and he becomes the new head coach in Seattle, which, by the way, good landing spot for a young coach. It's always dicey, right, in terms of not knowing where you're going, but Seattle has been one of the better organizations in football for a long time, you know, with the stability they had under Pete Carroll. So a good landing spot for Mike McDonald.
He got a better gig than my buddy Marvin did in Cincinnati, or my buddy Jimmy Schwartz did in Detroit, or Mike Nolan did in San Francisco. You know, I'm thinking of my friends that got jobs. I mean, Rex took the Jets job and went to the championship game. I mean, like, Mike Pettin took the Browns job and might never get hired again because he – bought in with awful ownership in Johnny Manziel. I mean, like, all of these things have their tragedies built into them. And I saw it was eight coaches, all these names. I'm like, who's that mm-hmm. guy? And who's he coaching? Where's he going and all that? You never know where the next one is. But, boy, McDonald certainly, from a national punditry, feels like the next whiz kid. He feels like the next Sean Payton or the next thing, that he might be there 10 years.
I mean, he could be. I mean, certainly the Seahawks are envisioning that, and they were in a position where they were willing to wait for him the way it sounds, even if the Ravens had advanced to the Super Bowl. But you never really know, right? I mean, way back when John Harbaugh, who are the Ravens hiring? The Eagles special teams coach, Jim's brother? And look, I know there are some bitter feelings right now and frustration right now with the fan base, but it's safe to say that's worked out pretty well over 16 years.
By the way, these
So,
people don't want to fire Harbaugh. I mean,
I
like,
mean,
I'm not real pleased with John Harbaugh right now. So pleased that he won't want to run into me out in the city, quite frankly. He just won't want to run into me because he's hiding from me and he's a coward. But that being said, I firing John. I mean, the fans are nuts. This, I mean, like, I go out on the Twitter and I'm like, what? I sit here trying to educate people and been doing it for 30 years. It's just amazing to me how volatile fans can be when they have a Twitter pad. Used to have to get in line and wait and call me and say, fire the coach, and I'd laugh at your ass. Now nobody even laughs at your ass. They sort of pile, yeah, you're smart. Yeah, you're smarter than Bisciotti. I'm like, okay, but that being said, this tree is, I don't want to say withering. I mean, because they have other young Zach. We'll get to Zach Orr in a minute and get to Anthony Weaver and other alums, and we love Zach. I love Zach Orr. You and I love him. But the losses and the thought that we can't lose this guy, we'll be fine. That's what I wrote. We'll be fine.
I mean, now I'll say this, that's not a guarantee either, but looking at history, looking at how the Ravens specifically talking about the defensive coordinator. Now, Joe Ortiz has been running their drafts for a long time now. I mean, Eric's a general manager and Joe's been his right-hand man in terms of coordinating the pre-draft process and the scouts and cross-checking and all those different things. I mean, he's run that show for a while now. So that's a loss. But as it pertains to the defensive coordinator, look, I think Mike McDonald is a supremely talented coach, and I think he's got a heck of a chance to become successful in Seattle. At the same time, how many times have we seen it, not even talking Ravens people, just in general, where someone's a hotshot coach and they land somewhere and they're gone in a year or two? I mean, that's the nature of the beast, right? I mean, timing is such a big part of that. That's why I said I think Seattle and the stability that they've had, and you look at what Pete Carroll did for years and years out there, this is a little different situation for Mike McDonald. But this is how it works in the Ravens when it pertains to defensive coordinators, they've gone this route over and over and over again. Going all the way back to Mike Nolan and Rex Ryan and Chuck Pagano. I mean, these are all individuals that served as a part of the staff. And in the case of Mike McDonald, okay, he left for a year, but he had been here, right? And he came back. So they're very familiar with Zach Orr. They're very excited. They felt that they had four candidates that were viable replacements in-house for Mike McDonald. Denard Wilson, who has since left to become the Tennessee Titans defensive coordinator and did a great job with the defensive backs this past year. Local guy, former Terp, so feel good for him. But they had Anthony Weaver and they had Chris Hewitt and they had Zach Orr, and they felt like these were all guys that, depending on how the dominoes fell, and let's be clear, dominoes could still fall in terms of other guys leaving, or that's just what happens with coaching in the offseason. You never have, we always talk about the roster, but you never have the same coaching staff exactly either. You're always going to have a few assistants for whatever reason, not even tied to performance, but just some changes because life circumstances change. So, but I think Zach Orr, as young as he is, he's 31 years old. It's strange. I mean, I can still vividly remember you and I doing live radio shows with Zach Orr and all of that. He's really embraced the coaching lifestyle. I can recall when he had to retire. What was that? January of 2017. I believe it was that June or July that the Ravens announced that he was going to be, an intern and personnel assistant, basically starting to cut his teeth, transitioning to a coaching career. And I ran into him at the facility, might have been that September. I think it was after training camp. I just, bumped into him. He's walking through the hall and I stopped and talked to him for 20 seconds. And I asked him, how are you liking this coaching life? And he said, Luke, I knew coaches worked hard, but I had no idea the hours that these guys put in. So to hear him say that, which is, by the way, that's the answer that any coach, new coach will tell you. You know, the best ones put in, I mean, tireless work, endless hours. They never see their family. But he's embraced that. And to see him climb up the ladder and to go off to Jacksonville for a year and to come back because Mike McDonald wanted him on his staff and, you know, felt, I know from talking to some people late in the season, Mike McDonald thought Zach Orr was ready to be a defensive coordinator. I'm guessing if Zach Orr wasn't becoming the Ravens defensive coordinator, there's a good chance he'd be going to Seattle and becoming the DC for Mike McDonald. So he's highly thought of. Now, like I just said, with McDonald in Seattle, do you know for sure? Do you ever know with certainty that someone is going, when they get promoted, whether you're talking about a hotshot coordinator becoming a head coach or a position coach becoming a coordinator, you never know for sure. But I think on paper, there's reasons to be optimistic about this. And oh yeah, Zach Orr would be the first to tell you that he's still going to have Roquan Smith at inside linebacker, even if Patrick Queen's gone. He's still going to have Kyle Hamilton at safety and a number of, and presumably Justin Madubuike, probably on the franchise tag, if I had to guess. So they still have a lot of great players, even if they're going to lose some guys on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for McDonald. It's a great opportunity for Zach Orr. You're going to miss Joe Ortiz, but the Ravens have been preparing for that possibility for years in the same way they prepared for other front office types taking GM jobs over the years. I mean, it's just part of it's the nature of the beast. And other young coaches will now get opportunities and you see how it plays out. So it's part of it. This was going to happen, whether it was going to be this week after an AFC championship loss or after the Super Bowl. Now, some of the details might have been different, but you're always going to undergo some change along the way, especially when you're successful. People want people from good organizations, and the Ravens have been an excellent organization. So it's tough on the heels of the bitter disappointment of the loss to the Chiefs that isn't going to go away for quite a while. That's why we said in our Orioles conversation, it's nice to have a pleasant distraction in that regard, but life goes on and now it's on to 2024 and John Harbaugh building this coaching staff, Eric DaCosta building this roster with some of the changes, but also additions that will happen in the coming weeks and months.
Anthony Weaver, anything you want to say in regard to him? I mean, I've known Weaver longer than Zach. I would imagine it was probably a really painful decision for John, and it probably means he's going to lose Anthony Weaver, right? Like, you know,
it's always right. I mean, it's
and I don't know. You said Weaver maybe going to Seattle with McDonald. You know, I mean, like, there's still jobs out there. Most seats are getting filled here pretty quickly before Super Bowl week, but you know, I thought Weaver was next in line. I don't say it shocked me, but earlier in the week, I would have thought he would have been the guy until I learned more.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you never know. I mean, people have said that about Chris Hewitt, for example, because he's, you know, he's been up for and he's talked to the Ravens, you know, about the defensive coordinator job, and he's been passed over, and he's been here a lot longer than those guys. So you never really know. But yes, that's part of whenever you have an in-house promotion such as this, there is always the possibility that some other in-house candidates decide to seek an opportunity elsewhere. And look, that's okay. You know, that you understand that, you respect that. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I think if you had asked me in November about this scenario, I would have said, yeah, probably Anthony Weaver. But look, Anthony Weaver, I mean, by all accounts, he was one of the final candidates for the Washington gig before it went to Dan Quinn. I mean, you know, he's interviewed for DC opportunities, you know, could be Miami. I mean, well, again, as someone's hearing this, these types of things change quickly. So, but that's part of it. But look, you don't put together a really impressive coaching staff without ideas and acknowledgments that, okay, you know, if this guy's really good, there's a chance he could become a coordinator somewhere else or could become a head coach somewhere else. That's how it works. You know, you don't want to put together a
John
staff
knew that when he brought McDonald back here last year, right? That this is going to be a young, good-looking coach, and we have Roquan Smith, and he's our guy. We might win the Super Bowl. Like, they thought that. They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl 5 days ago. And if you win the Super Bowl, you're going to lose him, right? So the Harbaugh tree has become something here. We'll see. I mean, McDonald will carry that in the same way that Josh McDaniel carried, you know, Belichick's tree, and we'll see how far that goes. But in the case of John and Zach Orr, Zach's in like an original OG, right? Like, John met him off the boat, loved him, loved his play, loved everything about him, and then more than anything, had the game taken away from him. And Zach Orr is one of the great stories of the last 15 years of the Ravens covering the team, that he would have the game taken away because he was such – I don't need to tell you because it's not ancient history. It's recent history. He was really good, man. He was about to get a 60, 80 million. I mean, he was going to get paid. He was going to be a made guy. He never got that contract.
I mean, think about it. He came in the same year as CJ Mosley. CJ Mosley was their first round pick in 2014. Zach Orr was an undrafted free agent out of North Texas. I mean, a guy that, you know, drew the tiniest bit of attention in the preseason. I think he had a couple decent preseason games, but he was one of those guys that made the 53-man roster as an undrafted rookie, and you kind of said, oh, okay. And he just continued getting better and got to the point where I think it was the second year he started to get more playing time in sub packages and things of that nature. I mean, this is 14. I mean, this was CJ Mosley, Darryl Smith when Zach Orr was a rookie. So, you know, it took him a little bit of time, but yeah, I mean, he was a second team all pro his third year. I mean, he was on his way to getting a pretty good contract. There's no doubt about that. I mean, would he have gotten CJ Mosley in New York money? Maybe not, because Mosley did have a little more of a pedigree, but he was certainly on his way to getting a real contract. And unfortunately, but I would also say fortunately for him, considering the serious nature of the spine condition that was discovered upon him having, I think it was a herniated disc, whatever it was, that they discovered that, hey, your spine is, you shouldn't be playing football. And you think about an individual dealt that hand, so to speak, and the different ways that can go. He could have been bitter. He could have gone the path of, let's face it, lots of former players, and you hear horror stories of, you know, not even getting into CTE and things like that. Just
what happened to him? I don't know that happens to a lot of football players. You get 3-4 years into a career, and you're on the cusp of getting paid, and then you're told by doctors, like,
and you're done. You can't play anymore.
You shouldn't do this.
Yeah, like, no one's going to clear you.
Awful DeMar Hamlins and like all that kind of stuff. But this is a really, really, I can't think of in 30 years of the Ravens anything that ever happened like this. And the fact that the guy popped back up on the coaching staff, I'm like, well, that's cute. He'll be a nice intern, run around, and maybe he'll go coach North Texas State one day or be a high school coach. You know, literally, that was the program of, hey, you love football, we'll bring you in here. I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, James Trapp and Ed Reed, and there's been numbers and numbers of guys that have thought about coaching, and then they get in there and they're like, oh, this is different. And that's why I always had such incredible respect for Jack Del Rio and for Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, not John, Jim. Guys that played the game at the highest level and then want to sign up to be a coach, because I have yet to meet a player who didn't understand that how much the coaches put in and that they don't want to be a coach. You know what I mean? Most players, they see what coaches do and they're like, I like playing. I would never want to do what you do. And not for any amount of money in the world. Not even for CJ Mosley money would I want to have that life. It's, I don't know, it's like you and me, dude. Like being a journalist. We're out doing what we're doing. The phone rings and Corbin Burns is like, you're on the clock. You're just, it's a different kind of life. You know, my wife cuts her work at 5 o'clock. I have a different kind of life after work. Some people, football coaches, I don't know anybody like it. I mean, and by the way, 30 years of doing this. And I got to at least say two words, Marvin Lewis, back with the Raiders. So when I think of my original OGs and guys that can't quit it, shortstop for a while, went back. When you are a coach, and people were talking about Belichick and Pete Carroll not coaching this
Lifer.
Year. Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know that John Harbaugh could have a normal life if he stopped. You know what I mean? I don't, he doesn't have hobbies. I mean, I've known a guy 50, like Brian didn't have, Brian's golfing now. I had him on twice this week, and he never golfed. But Brian's hobby was, I have a wife and two girls. They're my hobby. You know what I mean? But there's not a lot of room for hobbies. And when you're a 31-year-old guy who played football and had it taken away from you, I mean, I wish I could talk to Zach, or we'll talk to Chad Steele about that once Greg Bader's gone. But I love Zach. I threw him a text. He's not allowed to text me back because nobody in Owings Mills is allowed to speak. By the way, Joe Ortiz did text me back, and Jim Harbaugh texted me back last week as well when they got gigs. So I'm maintaining friendships. But Zach Orr, if I were to speak to him and sit and talk to him, because we've known him from the beginning. I mean, literally, he was one of the young guys we got to know in the locker room that we liked a lot. Obviously, John liked him a lot. The organization liked him a lot. There's nobody that had his that's had his pathway. And the
No.
fact that he's a fast comer, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that until this week that he was the chosen one. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think we all knew McDonald could be going. I just assumed Anthony Weaver came here to sit in that seat. And then I thought about it. I'm like, John wasn't here when Anthony Weaver showed up at the barn like I was, you know, back in the aughts. And I've known Anthony from the beginning. I like Anthony a lot. But, you know, John's relationships with Zach, I would think, you know what I mean? Like the longer term relationship, you know?
Well, there's that. And I mean, it's just, what's your aptitude for it? And that's not to say that Anthony Weaver won't make a great defensive coordinator or a head coach somewhere at some point in the not too distant future. But, you when you're a head coach, you have to evaluate these things. You have to figure out. And part of it is, yes, you're kind of putting together the puzzle pieces in terms of who's going to fit where, what's my contingency plan for when this guy potentially moves on and becomes a head coach somewhere. I mean, look, I saw a few people throw it out there on Twitter and, but we said the same thing about Mike McDonald. Is it that far-fetched to think that Zach Orr, and look, I'm not pushing John Harbaugh out the door, and this isn't at all related to what you were talking about
It
as far
could
as
be.
fans wanting him gone, but it could be, John Harbaugh's in his early 60s. He may not coach forever, right? I mean, is it impossible 5 or 6 years from now that Zach Orr doesn't become the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens in the same way that 6 years ago you wouldn't have thought he was their defensive coordinator? So you never know. I mean, it's a great story. And again, getting ahead of ourselves.
Meanwhile,
I mean,
CJ Mosley still playing,
yeah. I
right?
mean, it is crazy. I mean, you think about this, and you mentioned a couple names of guys that, have played and became coaches, including here in Baltimore. But this is the first former Ravens player, to become one of their coordinators. I mean, it's pretty cool when you think about it. So, it's a great story. Now the question becomes, what are his chops like in terms of being a defensive coordinator? I mean, I think you've seen some of the Ravens Wired segments. He's a passionate guy. He gets fired up on the sideline. That'll be a little bit different when you're running the show as the coordinator compared to just being an inside linebackers coach. But I think he's highly respected. I'm not going to sit here and say that Zach Orr is the reason why Roquan Smith was an all-pro inside linebacker. I think Roquan Smith was pretty much Roquan Smith from the moment he arrived here in Baltimore. But, I think you do give Zach Orr some credit with, where Patrick Queen, how far he had come over the last couple of years. I think
I think Zach Orr
in it.
probably saw a lot of himself in Patrick
Yeah,
Queen, right? Like literally, that
sure.
was his position, and that's the way he played the game. And I think Patrick Queen, I'd love to talk to Patrick Queen when he gets his gig elsewhere. And I'm going to chase CJ. CJ's doing Radio Row next week. You remember Radio Row? You remember we used to
I
do Radio
do.
Row?
I
Yeah,
do.
we used to. So when Chad Steele throws me out, it's opportunities like, oh, there's CJ. He's going to sit with me for half an hour. I'll just text CJ, and CJ will come on. And I'd love to hear CJ's insights into Zach Orr. I think that would be a phenomenal conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it surprising from the standpoint of what you were just saying? How, yeah, I think most people would have assumed Anthony Weaver feels like he would be the heir, not heir apparent, but replacement to Mike McDonald if he was going to get a head coaching gig. But, Zach Orr, from 17 through 20, coaching intern, personnel assistant, defensive analyst. I know at least his first year. I don't know about the rest, but I know his first year or two, it was not just being exposed to becoming a coach, but also the scouting side and seeing what that looks like. So I think, I'm sure analytics were a part of that in terms of those types of factors that have become more of a reality in the NFL in the modern day. So I think he was exposed to that. So he had a 4-year internship, for lack of a better term, goes off to Jacksonville for a year where he's a bona fide assistant, position coach. So and then yeah, that doesn't work out because that was what I guess that was Urban Meyer's staff. Didn't
Ooh.
work out well there. Not his fault,
Didn't
but
get the
that didn't
right kind
work
of
out well.
mentoring there, you know.
Yeah. But he comes back, and like I said, I mean, Mike McDonald thought very highly of Zach Orr. I know that from, just talking late in the season, there was some talk that Zach Orr, even if it wasn't the thought it was going to be here, but there was a thought that this guy's going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere. So it just so happened that John Harbaugh felt this was the right time and place for him. And yeah, Anthony Weaver, more experience, but keep in mind, Anthony Weaver had only come back to the Ravens as a coach in 2021. So it's not as though he had been here this entire time. So yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. Like I said, there is the possibility of losing an assistant or two that, you know, when you have an in-house promotion, there can sometimes be, I don't even know if it's hurt feelings, but it's just a reality setting in of, okay, this probably, if I want to progress, this might not be the place where it's going to happen. And then you just say, well,
you
hey,
get the feeling Zach Orr is going to be the defensive coordinator here for 2 or 3 years, but who knows? They win the Super Bowl next year.
He could be head coach somewhere else.
The Bears. Right. Exactly.
I mean, you never know. You never really know. I mean, that's just part of the gig. To your point, how, as much as these guys work so hard, the hours are endless. It is a tough gig. You know, it is, you know, you don't go into this gig with any designs that you might be naive enough to think, oh man, it'd be great to be here my whole career. It doesn't work out that way. I mean, either you're not good enough or you're good enough, but your head coach and your team isn't good enough and you all get canned. Or if you are good enough, that opportunity to progress and move up the ladder probably isn't going to be there, or you might have to wait. And, you know, we always talk about coordinators, and we've seen it, you know, Ben Johnson in Detroit, you know, Bobby Slowick in Houston. I mean, these were guys that were interviewing for head coach gigs, and then they ultimately decide to stay. And look,
Stay because they can win a championship and be rosier. They didn't like the gig. Maybe they weren't going to get the gig. And maybe what they're really thinking is the Dallas job will be open next year. A job they covet. Listen, Brian Billick wanted to coach the Kansas City Chiefs or the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm not speaking out of turn. It just never happened for him. Yeah. He didn't want the Jets job. He didn't want the Eagles job. He didn't want the Falcons. He wanted a certain kind of ownership and a certain kind of general manager because he had been paid. And without that, he wasn't going to do it. So he never did it. And he just was not going to go coach for Al Davis or Jerry Joe. You know, there were certain people he didn't feel like he could work for and he could pick his spots. When you're young, you don't get to pick your spots, but you at least get to say, if you're Ben Johnson at the moment or Slowick at the moment, I'm in a good circumstance here. I'll be the Mike McDonald next year. I'll be whatever that would be next year. I mean, Eric Bieniemy is a great example of a guy that, like, I passed over, and then wound up in a bad spot, like Zach Orr in Jacksonville for a minute with Urban Meyer. And you can get derailed like that. You know what I mean? You go someplace on the wrong place and the wrong time, and you're no longer next to Andy Reid, or you're Bill Belichick's, you've flown off the wrong. Bill Belichick can't get a job now, right? Like, he's too demanding. So it is a very specified thing. And while we're talking about that, I want to throw Joe Ortiz in here just for a minute, because that industry is incredibly volatile because you get one chance. Because in that industry, somehow, some way, you don't get hired again. If you're Bobby DePaul, you wind up on 105.7, The Fan, and living in Ocean City. Like, and I love Bobby, and Bobby never does my show but I love Bobby, but he's one of those guys that, you know, 20 years with the Redskins, a decade with the Bears, they go to the Super Bowl, and he can't get a gig because, like, those gigs aren't there, and he's overqualified to just be like a scout or whatever, certainly from a pay standpoint. But if it doesn't work out, you wind up where Phil Savage is, unless you're George Koukinas and you have a landing pad and you have friends, you know, in the business, because that part, the talent development part and the scouting part, it's the toughest gig in the world. Because Ortiz is going out to LA after all these years. He could probably always come back if the seats open and it doesn't work out. But, like, those guys don't get second chances the way coaches do. The way Jimmy Schwartz went to Buffalo, went to Philly, got a ring, went to Tennessee, advised, and now he's a genius again with Cleveland, but he's a failed head coach, and he didn't get an interview. You know, so once you – Mike Pettine, like all these guys, once you get used up, it sucks. It's a crappy industry in that way.
It's tough. It's tough. And I'll throw this out there, though. You also have individuals and look, I don't begrudge Ben Johnson or Slowick, or they run the risk that they might not be as hot of a commodity next year or the year after that. Bobby Slowick, if CJ Stroud, and I love the kid, if he tears his ACL the second week of August,
You're not a genius anymore.
Where are the Texans next year? You know, I mean, and look, I mean, it can be that fleeting. So you do weigh all the factors that you just laid out.
That's why Ortiz never left, right? Just what took Ortiz so long to leave? He could have had the Giants job. There were five jobs he could have had. He's interviewed for all kinds of jobs. It's fascinating he took the Chargers job because he knows Jim, right? Or because of that situation. But there's a reason Eric never left. Right. Like there's a reason because that industry is awful, like really, really awful.
It is. But there are also a very specific, finite number of jobs. And to the point I was just trying to make, even if it's not the best situation, it might be the only situation that manifests for you to have that job. So
I had an unbelievable conversation one night at the owners meetings. It was me, Jim Schwartz, Mike Tomlin. And it was another coach it was Raheem Morris. It wasn't Raheem. I was in a conversation with these gentlemen and Schwartz had just taken the gig and I remember Tomlin saying, all these jobs are good. Any of these jobs. Yeah, any of these jobs. I hear his voice, you know, and Schwartz had taken the 0-16 thing. He's like, hey man, you take the seat you get, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
And his thought was,
no,
won't take much to improve when they didn't win anything. We won five games, we're an improvement. You know what I mean? Like, so all of those guys, and I thought, why are you taking a bad gig? And they said, there are no bad gigs. You know, getting a $3 million job when you're an $800,000 coordinator, feeding your family, getting a $9 million contract, Detroit, Oakland, pick see St. Louis, pick whatever gig you want. You take that gig. I don't necessarily subscribe to working for John Angelos, like, but Mike Elias signed up and it worked out. It worked out okay because he's survived to the other end. But there are plenty of people that told Mike Elias, don't take that gig. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of people said, but in baseball, you can bounce back more than football. Football, you take the Browns gig and you're Phil Savage, you're done. You know, Kukinis is done in that way. I don't think Kukinis will be running the Cardinals or whatever. I think he's here because he did it, left, and said, no, my family's here. I got a gig. I got a job. I like my job. I like the people I work with. I'm not moving. And there's a lot more of that on the football side than the baseball side. But Elias is a great example of, like, don't take that job. That guy's crazy. Don't take that job. You know? Like, when Kevin Brown took the job as the broadcaster, dude, they're going to bury him. You know? Like, when you work for volatile maniacs, of which there are some in ownership and sports, it's – And that's why the Chargers thing was interesting to me. You know, I thought that Joe Ortiz taking all this time because he's had all these opportunities that he is pretty convicted that they're going to go out there for 5 years and he's going to get his $10 million and they're going to win something, you know?
Well, Jim Harbaugh, who has done nothing but win over the last decade, wherever he's been, you know, University of Michigan, 49ers before that. And he's got a franchise quarterback there. I mean, say what you want about where you want to rank Justin Herbert, but kid's good. I mean, he can play. Yeah. I mean, he can play. If you build something good around him, I the Chargers could absolutely be duking it out for an AFC championship at some point in the next couple of years. So you're not going to get a better most of those gigs. And that's why I said that the McDonald going to Seattle, that's a little bit different because obviously that was Pete Carroll kind of deciding, hey, you know, it's time. And the organization deciding that. But most of the time when you are going to one of these jobs, it's because the previous guy got fired, which tells you that things aren't great. That's typically how it works. So in the case of the Chargers, and look, the Chargers were bad this past year and Staley was a disaster, but they do have things going for them there. I mean, look, it's going to be very tough for them to ever be, you know, leapfrog the Rams, who are barely a thing there. I mean, because it's just LA and you just wonder what the thirst is and how many, you know, how much attention you can really garner.
Earl Sunshine and the beach. I saw Baywatch.
But it is a big market and they do have a bit, and it is a big stadium and it can be a potentially attractive landing point if you and Jim Harbaugh go there and bring winning, you know, bring a championship. You know, you can at least get eyeballs for 15 minutes, right? Which is better than nothing. So, you know, it's definitely interesting, but happy for Joe Ortiz, happy for Mike McDonald, happy for Denard Wilson, who, by all accounts, when you kind of look at how the Eagles played out, He should have gotten that gig last year. He should have been the defensive coordinator for the Eagles this past year, rather than it playing out the way it did in Philly, where both guys, you know, that previous guys that called plays for them this past year are gone. So, you know, so, but he's going to go to Tennessee. Seems like a decent spot for him. So, and we'll see how the rest of the Raven staff plays out. But
Mike Vrabel Zach doesn't have a gig, right? I mean, a lot of these guys can't.
Who knows?
We talk about guys getting tossed out. Vrabel will work again. But, like, I don't know that he's getting a head coaching job next. I don't know. We'll find out.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't get a head coaching gig. But, again, this goes back to the point. Finite number of chairs, right? I mean, until they expand, until the NFL goes from 32 to 34 and puts the team in London, as you've been predicting for years. But
I live long enough for that to happen. I live long enough for Rubenstein to show up.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough gig. There's a lot of movement. This movement that the Ravens have experienced this week, none of it's surprising. Surprising maybe that Zach Orr is the defense coordinator, but the idea that the Ravens are replacing Mike McDonald, not surprising. So this is how it plays out. And track record for defensive coordinators, I mean, Marvin Lewis through Mike McDonald. Okay, people didn't love Greg Madison. People didn't love Dean Pease at the end. I get it. You know, not everyone's been a home run, but that's one. That's a set of, you know, that's a gig that the Ravens typically have handled really well. So if John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta and the organization deem Zach Orr the right guy, then who am I to doubt them on that? There are other things we can question, including the offensive play calling in the AFC title game, for example. But I think as it pertains to the defensive coordinator gig, I think they have a pretty good track record there. And that's where I'm excited to see what Zach Orr can do. And like I said, personally speaking, happy for the guy. I mean, dealt a tough hand as it pertained to his playing career. That could have gone way different for him in life in general, responding to that. Instead, he said, you know what? I'm going to become a coach. And he's talked about it. It's a challenge. You know, and he talked about the transition from player to coach. Knowing it for yourself is one thing. Teaching it to others is a completely different animal. And he talked about that being a challenge a couple years ago when he was asked about it, but he's embraced it. And very clearly the Ravens have thought very highly of his development, because you wouldn't be giving a 31-year-old the defensive coordinator gig if you didn't think he was going to hit it out of the park.
Luke Jones is here. Last thing for you. Did you enjoy that Hard Eight barbecue when we were down in Arlington, Texas for our, we were there very briefly, just long enough to watch them lose and get mistreated and get the hell out of there. You know, I hate Dallas famously, everything about it. I got stuck going there because the Orioles got stuck going there. Then they won the World Series. But the saving grace is we did get to see Jerry's World. And by the way, Dan Quinn, people pissing on that down in D.C. Believe me, I have no Commanders affinity. Dan Quinn's going to be a good coach. Dan Quinn's a good, really good man. Salisbury State. I know Dan Quinn a little bit. I thought that was a good hire for the Commander. Really good hire for the Commanders, by the way. His thing would smell a whole lot different if they just would have, like, had a first down in that game with Matt Ryan, right? Like, he would be a different, he'd just be a different guy. He got that team to where you're like, Dan Quinn's going to be a good coach. Dan Quinn was a good coach in Atlanta. So, Zach Orr is from that part of Texas. He's from the Dallas, North Dallas area, North Texas, where he played. He's the one that sent me to Hard Eight Barbecue. So whenever I go to Dallas, I took you there. So that meal you had, even though I bought it and the listeners and the sponsors bought, courtesy of Zach Orr. You see, when you see him, let him know you had some good barbecue in October because of him.
What was it? DeSoto, I think, is where he's from, right? I
Correct.
Think it was DeSoto High School. Yeah.
You know what? He's really from really close to where the star is, where we went today. North Plano, Frisco, up north. Yeah, Frisco, that area. He's from in near that area, within a couple of miles of there. So he's a good dude. And I don't know. I'm bullish on that hire, so I'm happy with that. All right. We've done a whole lot on Corbin Burns. We've done a whole lot on David Rubenstein. I thought it was just going to be Super Bowl week here. And as it turns out, it's a cup of Super Bowl week. Crab Cake Row begins on Monday at, let's start it off, Fadley's at Lexington Market. We'll be at the old market, the original location. They have not moved in, so that's a note I'll make on social media. Tuesday, all day long, we're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville. Thursday, we are going to be at State Fair. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt in Catonsville all day long. And then on Friday at Pappas, 9 until 5, live radio. Lots and lots of local community efforts, charities, good stuff. We'll have some football conversation. We'll have some baseball conversation, but we're going to do some good work, and we're going to give you a free cup of soup or bowl if you come by and bring something for the Maryland Food Bank. So promoting charities all week, raising food specifically for local pantries. And at 4:40 every day, Luke, the Maryland Food Bank is sending over a local pantry to come on the air and tell us how this food that we've gathered during the day is going to stay in Dundalk on Tuesday, downtown on Monday, and Cockeysville on Friday. So we're real proud of this effort. It's the first time we've done it. I shouldn't say it's by choice, but by necessity. But they'll be doing what they're doing out in Las Vegas with Pat and, you know, the new regime out there in San Francisco and Brock Purdy. And, well, you know, we'll be in Catonsville eating crab cakes and serving free crab soup. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive. Come get some free lottery tickets, too.